Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is on the air because truth matters. To get on today's program, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to your calls in just a few moments. The number is always to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. But I want to start by asking you a question. Does Jesus really have blue-green eyes and brown hair? Does he have a rainbow-colored horse? Well, Colton Burpo definitely thinks so. After experiencing the equivalent of a near-death experience, he has said that's precisely how you can describe God. And yes, he does have a pony. And his father, Wesleyan pastor Todd Burpo, thinks so as well. Because in his view, his son was an eyewitness, and therefore he is giving us an eyewitness testimony to what heaven is like. And judging by the fact that Todd's book, Heaven is for Real, has stayed number one on the bestseller list for 44 weeks, multiplied millions of other people want to believe this story too. But did Colton Burpo really visit heaven? Did he really see God? Did he see Jesus? Did he see the Holy Spirit? Did he see a host of biblical heroes? And can his experience and the experiences of others like him tell us anything substantive about the afterlife? Or is there something else going on here? Truth matters. And what we believe about the afterlife will matter for all eternity. So it's vital that we get this one right. And I've written my new book, Afterlife, to help you get it right and provide biblical answers to your questions about what life will be like in heaven, the theology of hell, near-death experiences, and even whether your pets will be with you after death. Afterlife will be off the presses in about 6 months. But for Friends of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I prepared a preview booklet titled Life After Life After Life with some of today's most controversial questions about the afterlife. And I'll send you this special preview all this month as my way of saying thank you for your ministry support this month of $25. $50, $100, or any other amount that God lays on your heart. Whether the subject is this life or the next, truth has become scarce in our society. My defense of the Bible and tried and true principles of Christianity on the Bible Answer Man broadcast has earned me a lot of angry rebuttals from within the church, just like from outside the walls of the church. Moral relativism is the new standard, and its proponents are ready to attack any statement of objective moral truth. Well, they call it hate speech. These are times that call for courage, and therefore I am deeply grateful that you are willing to take a stand with this ministry. God's only provision through friends like you keeps the Bible Answer Man broadcast on the air day after day, month after month, providing the logical biblical answers that you can hold on to in a world of rapidly changing views. Please join me again this month with a gift to bring more of our broadcasts and resources into your life and the lives of thousands of people who deeply need to hear the truth. I ask for your prayers to keep us strong in the face of many attacks. And remember, again, when you give, don't forget to request your special preview booklet, Afterlife. It's called Life After Life After Life, and again, it is a preview booklet from my forthcoming book, Afterlife. In a very real sense, it's a look at your future, because death will certainly come to each one of us, and what happens next should concern us deeply. My prayer is that this booklet will help you live in this life. It will prepare you for life after life, and also prepare you to look forward eagerly to your life after life after life. I can't wait to share these truths with you, so please let me hear from you soon. Your ongoing partnership, of course, matters so much in these very tough days for both the economy and the spiritual life of our nation. And thank you so much for standing with us, because truth matters. Again, the preview booklet available, you can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can just pick up the telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000. And the letter is CRI. Let's go right to the phone lines. We'll talk first to David in San Antonio, Texas, listening on KDRY. Hi, David.
Oh, hi, Hank. Can you hear me? I put you on my speakerphone.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'm concerned because yesterday at church, the church I've been attending, the pastor was preaching on generational curses and how we need to break them, and how Satan can gain access over us if we don't break them. Like, for example, if your great-grandfather was a witch, that generational curse comes on you, and it has to be broken. And he was talking about deliverance and taking back judgments and the power of words. And he mentioned a book by Francis McNutt. I don't know the name of the book, but it's about generational curses. And I'm very concerned. When he said that, I started looking in my Bible, and it just didn't line up with Scripture. And I'd like to get your thought on that. And I would like you to pray for me, because I'm trying to find a healthy, well-balanced church here in San Antonio, whether it be a PCA church or a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Church. I don't know if CRI can help me in that regard. I'd appreciate it if they could, but...
Yep.
I want to ask God for discernment. I want to rightly divide the word of truth. I want to test everything in light of Scripture, even spiritual experience, like you say. And so I have a love for truth, and that's why I'm asking you this.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I commend you for testing all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to the good. And secondly, let me say, shame on the pastor for teaching such perversions from the pulpit. Because Scripture explicitly tells us that the Son will not share in the guilt of the Father, nor the Father share the guilt of the Son. In fact, when ancient Israel quoted the proverb, the fathers eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge, God responds in no uncertain terms, "As surely as I live, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. The soul who sins is the one who will die." Bottom line, there is no warrant biblically for suggesting that someone could have received a generational curse from an ancestor, and that now they have to go to a deliverance session and get rid of that curse. Scripture clearly communicates something else, and that is consequences, not curses, are passed on through the generations. And in this sense, the Bible says the children are punished for the sins of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. In other words, the children of alcoholic fathers, as a case in point, frequently suffer neglect and abuse as a direct consequence of their father's sinful behavior. Not only that, but the descendants of those who hate God are likely to follow in the footsteps of their forefathers. So again, there's a sense that consequences follow through the generations, but certainly not curses. And again, I would commend you for what you have done. Test what is being said from the pulpit in light of Scripture. This is an outrage that a pastor would communicate such debilitating nonsense from the pulpit. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Pam in Missouri, listening on Bite Radio. Hi, Pam.
Are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am. I'm doing very well, thank you. I listen to your program every day. And this month, you have been talking on Mormonism.
Last month, yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yes. This is the beginning of a new month, isn't it?
That's right.
Anyway, you've been talking about Mormonism, and you've been referencing President Obama and his beliefs against Mitt Romney. And I guess my question, and I know that you have said that you do not do this in a way to be political, but it seems like you're more inclined to have Obama continue on as the president than to have Romney in because of his Mormonistic beliefs.
No, that's not true at all. I don't know how anybody can read that into what I said, although I shouldn't say that because a lot of people have read that into the fact that we have capitalized on a Mormon moment, and that's precisely what we're doing. This is not to suggest in any way that a Mormon couldn't make a good president. It is to capitalize on a Mormon moment when Mormonism is in the news because of Broadway musical that is a hit sensation, because of Mormon ads that are being consumed by the millions, and also because of political figures that are in the spotlight. My purpose has nothing whatsoever to do with suggesting who to vote for. It has everything to do with seizing this Mormon moment as an opportunity to communicate truth and to rescue people from America's largest born, naturally born American religion. So again, this is an opportunity that we should take advantage of as citizens of another kingdom, the city of God.
Exactly. Yeah, because I was raised in independence, and so whenever I was a kid, I was not a Mormon nor a Latter Day Saint or whatever, but the cathedral or the whatever was right there in town where they had the platform, you know, where Jesus is supposed to have his second coming. And as a child, I used to stand there and look at that and think, you know, how can you read the Bible and even believe that he's going to come to one spot, you know, and light down upon this, you know, this pedestal there. So even as a child, I knew the difference between Mormonism and Christianity, because Independence does have a lot of Mormon faith people that live there. So you were confronted with it a lot.
Yes.
But I guess whenever I was hearing you talk about the Mormonism and then talking about Obama and knowing that he had gone to that Reverend Wright's church, which is so, that guy is so out in left field that, I mean, he's truly scary. That
yeah, and we talked about his Black Liberation theology on the Bible Answer Man broadcast as well,
yes.
And we'll continue to do that. And I've also been very clear about my own values, and I think those are things that we need to continue talking about. We're in a very, very dangerous time in America, where marriage has been redefined, where there's a direct frontal assault on life, where there's a direct
yeah.
assault on the veracity of the Bible, and I have even been very candid about how Barack Obama, in his book, A Destiny of Hope, has attacked the Bible, suggesting that the Bible suggests slavery is okay, for example. If that were true, that would be a deal breaker for me. If the Bible
right.
really suggests that slavery is okay, that would be a God that I'm completely unfamiliar with. And, of course, the Bible doesn't suggest slavery is okay. It certainly, very candidly, talks about what was going on in society, but also makes very clear that those who are involved in slave trading are in the category of murderers, adulterers, perverts, and liars, not particularly good company.
Exactly. And I do think that a lot of the people who still do have the hostility against the white, I guess just white people in general, have sometimes also forgotten that a lot of the slaves that were sold to the slavery or into slavery were sold there by their own people or by other I guess I can't even.
Well, I mean, the point is, your point is well taken, and it's true, but that does not minimize the horror of slavery and the fact that even presidents in our past have owned slaves. This is a horrible indignity of humans against other human beings, and we are right to speak out against that. Of course, on the reverse side, it is very sad. I mean, I was listening to Stephen A. Smith, who is a sports commentator, and now he's using our quarterback Cam Newton as an example of when anybody criticizes his prowess on the field in some way, that they're being, in some sense, maybe racial in their comments, and these kinds of things are unfortunate as well. But we should, as Christians, speak out against the horrors of slavery and racism, and demonstrate that in Christ there is no slave or free. We're all the same at the foot of the cross. Be right back.
The mission of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is clear: to defend the reliability of Scripture, give reasons for faith, and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. In a world that is increasingly hostile to the gospel, we will not compromise for the sake of political correctness or popularity, but we are determined to stand for truth no matter what the cost. If this uncompromising devotion to truth resonates with you, won't you please join us? We depend on faithful monthly supporters to continue this crucial charge God has entrusted us with. To join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, just call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man will return after this. It seems like a no-brainer. If God is a God of love, there's no way He'd condemn anyone to suffer eternally in hell simply for not believing in Jesus, right? Christians who believe in an eternal hell have been accused of following a cruel and unjust God. Millions of atheists claim it's the reason they can't embrace Christianity. Do we need to abandon the concept of hell? Hank's new book, Afterlife, to be released next spring, answers this and many other questions about our eternal future. But because you need to be equipped now with answers about hell, we're offering you a sneak peek booklet, Life After Life After Life, for your ministry support today. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener supported, so your gift matters. Be one of the first to have your copy of Life After Life After Life. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. When Christians serve the Lord in Muslim-majority nations, it is expected that they take on some of their host culture's behavior to help reduce barriers to people hearing the gospel. As the Apostle Paul said, we must learn how to be all things to all people, that by all means we might save some. Other topics include, is dispensationalism indispensable? Could environmentalism become a global religion? To defend marriage, we should learn a lesson from apologetics. Plus, a feature-length Ask Hank column and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Mike's new book, Afterlife, will be off the presses in the spring, but you don't have to wait to learn his Bible-based answers to two of today's most controversial questions about life after death. In appreciation for your ministry support today, we'll send you a sneak peek booklet, Life After, Life After Life. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener-supported, so your gift today means more of the straight talk about the tough issues you've come to depend on. Go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. We'll get right back to your questions in just a second. I want to mention the Christian Research Journal. We have a special offer. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal for only $35 when you use the special offer code TRUTH. You'll get 7 issues, including a free copy of our exclusive Origins issue. Order online at equip.org or use the code TRUTH. So check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Also, October 13th and 14th, I'll be down in Naples, Florida, speaking at First Baptist Church. Check that out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jim in Liberty, Missouri. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Hank. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, sorry about that. I have a question about when Paul says, did not be deceived, neither idolaters nor fornicators, and he lists a bunch of sinners, and he lists drunkards, and he says that they'll not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And as a recovering alcoholic, I'm just wondering what that means for people who are battling with alcoholism who are Christian.
Yeah, well, what it means is that you are battling with alcoholism as a Christian, and that one day that battle will be over as you experience a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. In other words, the issue is not whether you are battling with one variety of sin or another. All of us do. The issue is, are you battling with it? In other words, have you made the decision that you are a sinner? You recognize that in full. You're willing to repent of your sin. In other words, turn from it with God's help and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And if that is the case, then you are his and he is yours. So recovering alcoholics, those who are struggling with alcohol, those who are struggling with sin of every kind, those are the very ones that Christ came to rescue.
So the text is referring to someone who has basically given themselves over to the sin?
Yeah, those who don't care. Those who want to do it their own way as opposed to doing it God's way. I mean, the basic prerequisite for being one of his is recognizing that you're a sinner, willing to turn from it with God's help, and receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life.
Great. Well, thank you for your ministry, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Katie in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question is, I'm a person who's experienced several miscarriages, and I know that there are many other women out there who are believers who have experienced the same situation. And I was wondering what biblical evidence there is for us having the hope of seeing our children again if we've lost our children before we were even able to see, like, a heartbeat or to see the fetus on an ultrasound.
Yeah. Well, remember that we in a Christian worldview hold both scripturally and scientifically to the reality that a fertilized human egg, that a zygote, does not have a completely developed personality but has full personhood from the moment of conception. And therefore, we say that that is a person and will always be a person in all stages of their life. Your child had a distinct genetic code. And therefore, again, this is a real person, a person that manifests all the qualities of personhood. And therefore, we can say from a scientific perspective that human life begins at conception when an embryo has metabolism, development, the ability to react to stimuli, cell reproduction, and so forth. So therefore, the answer to your question in short is yes, absolutely, you will see your child in eternity, and the DNA of your child will flourish to complete perfection so that they will be what they would have been had sin never entered the world.
What would be like a Bible reference that you would recommend, just so that, you know, something that we can take and just focus on to give us hope for seeing that child again? Like, what would be a Bible reference to support the early life?
Well, I love what the psalmist says about this, where he says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depth of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." I think this is one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture. In fact, I oftentimes recommend that people commit Psalm 139 to memory.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Great. Thank you, Katie. Bless you.
You too.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Marcus next in St. Louis, listening on KSIV. Hi, Marcus. Hey, Marcus, you probably need to turn your radio down.
Yes, hey, how are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
Yes, I wanted to ask you a question about what you were saying before you when you first came on air.
Uh-huh.
About the gentleman saying that he had been to heaven and seen Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't the scripture let us know that no man can look on him and live?
Yes.
So, okay, you were saying that in his Bible also. So I wanted to get your view on that.
Well, remember that these passages, both in John and in Exodus in the Old Testament, are metaphors that convey the reality that sinful humanity cannot see God in his essence and live. Of course, even the word see here is a metaphor for knowing God in his essence. We will have that experience when we're translated from mortality to immortality, but we cannot in the present state, in our present sinful state, see or know God in his essence. And therefore, we do from time to time see visual expressions of God. We see that in the Old Testament with the burning bush and so forth. But we cannot know God in his essence as sinful human beings and live. But that is an experience that we will have in eternity. But I do think that, to your point, this is one of those issues, in my view, that is problematic with these near-death experiences, because these people, and there are thousands of them now, are claiming to have seen God, and as a result of that, now are coming back to the church with new revelations about God's nature. And oftentimes, those revelations about God's nature are formed on the basis of presuppositions that they had before they encountered this near-death experience. And you see this when you start to analyze, as I have, near-death experiences. And by the way, this is something that I actually address in our preview booklet. Now, I do it in fuller form in my afterlife book that's going to come out in spring. But right now, you can get a preview of this where I lay all of this out so you can understand both the dangers and the duplicity of those who are communicating that they now have new revelations for the church based on their near-death experiences.
Okay, well, I was just listening to you when you first came on, and I heard you say something about the guy said he seen him, he went to heaven, seen him on a pony, and you said now his father also. I wanted to get your point of view of how you felt about that, because I know the scriptures say no man can look on God and live. Even as Isaiah said, when he saw the Lord, he was high and lifted up. He was sitting on the throne, and the throne filled the temple. okay, from what I've been taught, that Isaiah really didn't see the Lord. He saw a figure of the Lord.
He saw a visual expression of the Lord. That's right. And here the holiest man in Israel came apart of the seams. And now you have people saying that they're actually having little chats with God and laughing and telling jokes and so forth. But again, I lay all of this out. I am not a proponent of near-death experiences in terms of the new revelations which are being communicated. I don't suggest that these people are insincere. I don't know their hearts, but I can tell you that their feelings and their experiences are notoriously unreliable, and they don't square with what Scripture squarely teaches. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Matt in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to first take the opportunity to thank you for all that you do out there about your Mormonism over the past month. And I actually bought, there's three DVDs that you suggested, one of the Privileged Planets, those things. They've come in really handy, so thank you.
Wonderful.
And I'll get to my question. It was regarding the other day I phoned in, or I was listening to your show, and one you guys were talking about Christians and whether or not they should fight or go to war or not. And if I wasn't mistaken, I kind of was. I may be on the other side of the fence with this one, so I was wanting to get some help with what your side is as far as Scripture goes and stuff about how. Exactly, if you believe we should fight and why and what scriptures back it up, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think it's very important from a biblical perspective to recognize that true love protects the innocent against the evil of an aggressor. And that kind of love sometimes leads to war. And we see that there is ordering that takes place within a society. That's why we have police, by the way. But we also recognize that there is precedent to stop evil aggressors. So when Hitler, for example, was seeking to exterminate the Jews and create the Ubermen, or the Superman, the super race, that he was an evil aggressor, and that left unchecked, he would have killed many more people than he did and brought about a very unbiblical paradigm and foisted that upon the world through military strength. So, again, unchecked, his evil would have continued to reign. And therefore, I think that it is just that a nation takes on the evil of an aggressor such as Hitler. Now, of course, war must be just. A war in defense of justice must be fought justly. But having said this, what I am communicating here is a theological deduction that I make from the Scriptures and recognize that there are Christians that disagree with this point of view. But again, I think the weight of evidence points to the fact that a war must be fought justly, even if it is in the interest of justice. So there are parameters around which wars can be invoked against other nations. But again, I think the same logic that allows there to be governing authorities, as depicted in Romans chapter 13, within a society allows armies to thwart an evil aggressor that seeks to foist their evil upon humanity. We are coming to a station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Translation 888-275-4265. Back in just a few moments.
With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust, all designed to equip you to defend the faith and deepen your discernment skills. Search for articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man online, or a 3-minute Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer Bible questions. You can also connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter and receive special benefits. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Don't tune out. The Bible Answer Man will return in a moment.
It seems like a no-brainer. If God is a God of love, there's no way He'd condemn anyone to suffer eternally in hell simply for not believing in Jesus, right? Christians who believe in an eternal hell have been accused of following a cruel and unjust God. Millions of atheists claim it's the reason they can't embrace Christianity. Do we need to abandon the concept of hell? Hank's new book, Afterlife, to be released next spring, answers this and many other questions about our eternal future. But because you need to be equipped now with answers about hell, we're offering you a sneak peek booklet, Life After Life After Life, for your ministry support today. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener-supported, so your gift matters. Be one of the first to have your copy of Life After Life After Life. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Did the prophet Daniel predict a seven-year great tribulation period? The answer to that question is yes. But the next question is, when did or when will this great tribulation take place? Hank Hanegraaff answers this question in a feature-length Ask Hank column. Other topics include surmounting cultural barriers and presenting the gospel to Muslims, defending Christianity in the marketplace of ideas like the Apostle Paul, addressing the emotional problem of evil, evolution's Achilles heel, Kierkegaard and U2 on authentic love, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Does Jesus have bluish-green eyes, brown hair, and a rainbow-colored horse? Little Colton Burpo thinks so, after experiencing the equivalent of a near-death experience at the age of three. His experience is even the subject of a best-selling book. What's really going on with near-death experiences? Find out in Life After Life After Life, the sneak peek booklet for Hank's upcoming new book on the afterlife. It's our gift in appreciation for your ministry support today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give today. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And just a couple of words about war, because this is a question that comes up over and over again, just as it did at the end of the last segment. Remember that from a biblical perspective, wars are permitted by God in the same way that divorce is, because of the hardness of our hearts. Killing in self-defense is approved of in biblical passages like Exodus 22. Killing is permitted on the basis of Genesis chapter 6. Now, I didn't say murder, I said killing. In Genesis chapter 9, I should say, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image or the imago Dei of God has God made man. And remember, before Israel became a theocracy, Abraham made war against the valley kings because of their aggressive behavior towards Lot. And Abraham was blessed by God because of the action that he took in defense of the innocent. As Romans chapter 13 makes clear, rulers are given the sword to resist evil aggression and to promote the good. And never forget that when Paul's life was threatened, he accepted the protection of a Roman army. Thus, Paul considered it his right to be protected by the military against the unjust attempts of terrorists to take his life. So I think there's a biblical precedent for just war theory. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Bruce in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on Bart Radio. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have a question. You would, a being such as Lucifer or Satan, how could a being as intelligent, as clever and wise as he think that he could defeat an omnipotent God? And why would a third of the angels be as foolish as to make such a grievous decision to follow him, knowing the eternal consequences?
Well, sin is irrational, isn't it? You and
yes.
I can both attest to that. I mean, we know, even as believers, that sin is irrational, and yet every single day we engage in sin in one form or another, in thought, word, or deed. So even very intelligent people like yourself are involved in that same dilemma at some level, right? It's irrational, and yet we engage in it. We know that eternity is forever, and yet we live for temporary things as opposed to living for eternity most of the time. That's irrational in and of itself, makes no sense whatsoever, and yet we do it even as those who are redeemed. So much more the case with someone whose conscience has been seared by requisite knowledge, by being in the presence of God and yet deciding that he wants worship for himself, as opposed to being one who was designed to worship God and in that finding true satisfaction. It's irrational, but yet it is the case not only with satanic beings, but it is also the case with human beings.
Let's see. I just wonder if he thought, I mean, you can't know the mind of the enemy, but I wonder if he just thought that maybe he couldn't defeat him, but if he could get all the angels to worship him, then he would be as God and try to make God
heroic or something. We don't know. I mean, the Bible doesn't really give us the answer to that question, but again, I think in general terms we can say that sin is irrational. Number one, we can see its effects in the lives of even believers today, and therefore we recognize that God created Satan as a very beautiful, very powerful, very majestic being. He had the ability to act or to act otherwise, and he acted otherwise. He acted in concert with his own desire to be worshipped as opposed to worship God. Again, sin is irrational. We can't place ourselves in the position of Satan, but what we do know, what the Bible chronicles, and that is he had the choice. Love is not coerced, but love is freely given. If there is no such thing as true love, there is no such thing as true volition. Satan decided that he wanted worship for himself. So we only know what the text says. We can't really delve into the mind of Satan and fully comprehend why he would make such a choice. But we can certainly see a reflection of that in our choices daily.
Certainly. May I ask one more quick one?
Yeah.
I believe it's Jude 9, Michael and Satan are arguing over Moses' body, and it says something to the effect of, Michael didn't really accuse Satan. He just said, the Lord rebuke you. Can you just kind of go into what that was all about real quick?
Yeah, well, even as great an angel as Michael, he did not dare tackle Satan on his own. Rather, he called on the Lord to rebuke Satan. And I think the takeaway for us as Christians is that no Christian should ever feel that he has the wisdom or the power to engage Satan apart from complete dependence on the Lord. So I think there's a very important takeaway for all believers in this passage. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Monica in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Monica.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call. Can you explain to me the 144,000? I understood them to already be, and that they did not have to be chosen, like at the second coming of Jesus. Can you explain that to me?
Well, yeah. I mean, literally, the 144,000 and the great multitude that you find in the book of Revelation are actually comparable to the lion and the lamb. Because just as John is told about a lion and then he turns to see a lamb in Revelation chapter 5, so he's told about the 144,000. He turns around and he sees a great multitude. So the 144,000 is to the great multitude what the lion is to the lamb. In other words, it's the same entity seen from two different vantage points. From one vantage point, the purified bride is numbered. From another, she's innumerable, a great multitude that no one can count. So this is the full complement of the people of God from every language, tribe, tongue, and nation. It is, in essence, this play on numbers that John does throughout the book of Revelation, 12 times 12 times 1,000. Again, it is meant to represent true Israel as it was intended to be in perfect symmetry and providentially sealed. And we see the basis for that by looking back at the Old Testament parallels.
Okay, good. Well, thank you so much. That was, I mean, I knew kind of, sort of, but I was asked a question about specifically, and I didn't know how to answer it, so, but thank you.
You got it. Again, she's the purified bride from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language that will step over Jordan to the New Jerusalem prepared for the very foundations of the world. So the 144,000 is the limitless great multitude of all whose names are written in the book of life and who will inhabit the courts of God for all eternity. I actually wrote about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, and I want to do something that we hadn't planned to do, but since I got the question and I was thinking about this book, I'm going to make it available for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, and I will personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. So if you want a personalized copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, just let us know. You can do so on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or just write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, you can talk to our resource consultants via the phone as well, that number 888-7000, and the letter CRI. And a quick announcement before we go to our next question, and that is, I'm going to stay in studio today for an extra hour once we go off the air, continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you're hanging on, be patient. We will try to get with you. If we can't in this hour, we will in the next. And if you want to get your question answered for the next hour, the number to start dialing right now, 888-ASK-HANK. Be answering your questions for the next hour when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rick in Stafford, Kansas. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good.
It's just a pleasure to hear your ministry.
Thank you.
I'm kind of confused on, you know, the dinosaurs and how old the Earth is. You hear a lot about that. And I was wondering if you could kind of clear that up for me.
Yeah, the answer to the age of the Earth first is that it is something not really answered conclusively in special revelation, but there are some pretty clear hints in general revelation. So We need to recognize that there are special revelation given to us in the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, and then there's also general revelation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and therefore we should be good students of Scripture just as we're good scientists. As far as dinosaurs are concerned, there's no hint of dinosaurs in the Bible, although some will point to Job 40 and 41. But as I point out in the Creation Answer book, those that do, I think, miss the point of what is being communicated in the literary progression of the book of Job. So the notion that dinosaurs walked the earth at the same time that human beings did, I don't find any real clear evidence for in Scripture, and certainly don't find any clear evidence for in science. And as I point out in the Creation Answer book, those that have pointed to evidence in general revelation of dinosaurs and human beings walking together have been embarrassed, and some young earth creationists are now, to their credit, pointing that out, that at least the evidence that they have been providing is not clear and compelling evidence at all. In fact, it may point in a different direction altogether. So the point here, again, is that I've covered answers to these questions in the Creation Answer book, a book that is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can, again, write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Once again, the telephone, of course, is a great way to get a hold of the Creation Answer book as well. You can do that by dialing 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Do remember, once again, how important it is to support this ministry prayerfully and financially. Some people just take the ministry for granted and think we'll always be on the air. Well, there are places in the country we're not on the air anymore, and it's a direct result of a lack of funds. We want to remedy that woeful condition, and we can only do that with your support. So if you want to be a missionary to another area of this country or the world, you can do that by giving to the Christian Research Institute and expanding the reach of this ministry. You're not giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. And please do be generous with your prayers and your support. We rely on those. You can give in a safe, secure fashion, as always, on the World Wide Web at equip.org. As mentioned, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. So for the next hour, you can call the number 888-ASK-HANK, and I will answer your question. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and help believers sharpen their discernment skills. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. When Christians serve the Lord in Muslim-majority nations, it is expected that they take on some of their host culture's behavior to help reduce barriers to people hearing the gospel. As the Apostle Paul said, we must learn how to be all things to all people, that by all means we might save some. Other topics include, is dispensationalism indispensable? Could environmentalism become a global religion? To defend marriage, we should learn a lesson from apologetics. Plus, a feature-length Ask Hank column and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. It seems like a no-brainer. If God is a God of love, there's no way He'd condemn anyone to suffer eternally in hell simply for not believing in Jesus, right? Christians who believe in an eternal hell have been accused of following a cruel and unjust God. Millions of atheists claim it's the reason they can't embrace Christianity. Do we need to abandon the concept of hell? Hank's new book, Afterlife, to be released next spring, answers this and many other questions about our eternal future. But because you need to be equipped now with answers about hell, we're offering you a sneak peek booklet, Life After Life After Life, for your ministry support today.
The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener-supported, so your gift matters. Be one of the first to have your copy of Life After Life After Life. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.